It's a true honor to have the time from this wonderful man, Hervé Thys, who is a physical chemist who's very big in the culinary world because of his studies with kitchen science. In fact, Hervé, did you not coin the phrase molecular gastronomy?
Well, the story is that, you know, people looking about science in the kitchen is a very old story, because even Denis Papin in London centuries ago introduced the pressure cooker called the digester. It was in London, because he's a French guy who was in London. And then there were Lavoisier, the famous chemist, for the father of modern chemistry, studied how to make a stock, meat stock. So looking at what you do in the kitchen by science is old. But it's true that after the Second World War, you had people that were interested in the chemical composition in carrots, in wheat, in corn, and so on. And it's true that this is useless knowledge for people who cook. And there were other people in science doing studies on industrial processes. But daily, when you cook at home, you had no science to help you. Why are the soufflés swelling? You don't know. Why sometimes the mayonnaise fails? You don't know how to avoid it. And with Nicolas Curti, Nicolas began experiments in the probably 60s.
He was Austrian-Hungarian?
He was Hungarian. Then he studied science in Paris at La Sorbonne in 1917. Then he moved back to Berlin. And in Berlin, he was chased by the anti-Jewish laws. So he moved to Oxford. And then he worked all his life long in Oxford.
He was from Oxford.
Right? He was a fellow of Brasenose College in Oxford. He was a fellow of the Royal Society. He was the discoverer of the special methods for very low temperature cooling, let's say. And
everyone speaks of him in hallowed terms. He earned a great deal of respect.
Nicolas was someone very strange. He was a small guy, always sparkling, always trying to introduce some science in daily life. And when we met, it was incredible. A girl was the press officer of Pour la Science, which is the French edition of Scientific American, where I worked for 20 years. Indeed, I had two lives. Since 1980, I was using my lab at home to investigate old wives' tales, culinary old wives' tales.
Now, why were you drawn to this?
Oh, because in the 16th of March 1980, I was doing a Roquefort cheese soufflé, and the recipe was saying add the yolks 2 by 2. And I decided that it was useless, so I decided to add the yolks all together. And the soufflé was a failure. And this is a big. I was very lucky that it was a failure, because the next Sunday evening, so it was the 23rd of March 1980, I had friends for dinner again. I decided to make the soufflé again and to improve. And reading the recipe, I was looking at the yolks 2 by 2, and I said to myself, well, perhaps this is the reason. And if the 2 by 2 method is better than the all together method, then the 1 by 1 should be better. And I tried the 1 by 1, and the soufflé was better. And then I remember very well the 21st of March, I opened a notebook and said, now I will collect culinary old wives' tales, and I will test all of them, and I will try to make science out of cooking. And when I met Nicolas in 1986, by phone, we got immediately intimate friends. It was fascinating, because the second we spoke, we were friends, because we had the same passion. And the next week, he moved from Oxford to Paris. He came on purpose for just seeing me. And we had a wonderful lunch not far from here at the, it was Rue Racine chez Maître Paul, a poule au vin jaune et au mori, chicken with Jura wine and Morillas. It was wonderful. I remember the meal. We were discussing the story. And in 1988, then we decided that we had to create some science. And there was a question of the name, how should we call it? And we decided at that time for molecular and physical gastronomy.
Right.
Here is the story.
If you want to carry the story further, you decided that was too long a name.
Oh yes, when you go, so in the beginning we completely agreed with gastronomy, because gastronomy does not mean cooking for rich people. It means knowledge. So a gastronomic restaurant is no meaning. It's like a square circle. it cannot exist. It's like Father Christmas. No, a square circle does not exist. Gastronomy is really a knowledge. So you can have historical gastronomy, or geographical gastronomy, or economical gastronomy. And of course, in science, you have some particular gastronomy. The proposal during the discussion was that, you know, there was biology, and after 1934, because of Warren Weaver, an American scientist, director of the NIH, they decided to create the molecular biology. And we had the same idea, so we decided for molecular gastronomy, but Nicolas was a physicist. And being a physicist, he wanted to say that some phenomena in cooking are not only molecular. It's true that when you make a soufflé, the soufflé is swelling, it's just water evaporation responsible for the swelling. This is not chemistry, this is physics. And Nicolas insisted for having molecular and physical gastronomy. But it was very, very long. It was boring to say molecular and physical gastronomy. And moreover, I'm distributing the idea that when you say a word that with more than three syllables, generally it's because someone is trying to sell to you something. And then it was too long. So when Nicolas died, first of all, I was deeply sorrow. I don't know the word in English. I'm sorry.
Sad.
Very sad. It was more than sad. And I wanted to make his memory alive. And this is why I gave the name of Nicolas to the Erice International Workshop that we were organizing together. And
to Erice Sicily.
Yeah, Erice Sicily, yes. Because I knew that it was only something between the two of us having the unphysical on top of the molecular, I decided to drop to molecular. And at the same time, more or less, I decided that we should make a clear distinction between science and cooking. So no chef is doing molecular gastronomy. You do that only in labs with scientists. It's science. And of course, chefs are not cooking. So and chefs are doing some activity. If this activity is using new tools, new equipments, new hardware, new ingredients, new method, then it's an application of molecular gastronomy. And I proposed to the media, because this was the question, and to the chef, to call it molecular cooking.
And so that's what we're supposed to be doing now, molecular cooking.
Molecular cooking. And nowadays, they moved more or less, some of them decide for techno-emotional cooking, but it's the same.
It's called what?
Techno-emotional.
Oh, shoot. No. That's really complicated.
And more than three syllables.
And more than three syllables.
But it's true that chefs have something to sell.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We say art, culinary art. Yes, but they sell it.
Yeah. Now, this is not just science for science's sake. This whole adventure is going into the kitchen, and most famously at a very well-known restaurant in Paris, where the chef and owner is a very good friend of yours.
Well, the question of molecular gastronomy, it's science. It does not know in the kitchen, and I should not participate to any application of it. I realize that.
Well, how do you interact with Pierre Gagnaire?
First of all, I have to explain, and Pierre knows what I shall say. You know, I want to change the way people cook. This is the idea that we had with Nicolas, the world. So
now
I'm
why?
Crazy.
And that's my question.
Oh, for many reasons. Just one example. When you cook on a stove, you spoil 80% of the energy you use. 80%.
Energy.
So you spoil it, it means that you eat the atmosphere, you eat the climate. Billions of people daily eat the climate. This is only an example, but you spoil the ingredients generally. You don't make the best use of it. So there is an old word, not very fashionable, domestic economy. Very uh-huh. important. We are not so rich that we can spoil our environment.
Right.
So there is a question. Moreover, when you use a whisk in the kitchen, the whisk is a middle-aged tool.
Yes,
there is no reason to use a whisk. And I'm saying a whisk, it could
but
be
you said a bicycle pump.
Or anything. But there is, you know, this is technically doomed. So there are many reasons for changing the way people cook. When you want to do it, you cannot succeed because people want to cook as they cooked when they were young. This is rooted in the human beings. So the question is, if you want to make a change, you have to be rhetorically smart. And there is Parmentier introduced the potato in France. How did he do? He offered to the king a flower of potato. So the king was having the flower of potato. The public was looking at the king and saying, wow, if the king is eating potato, it should be good. And then in one generation, France, the whole country was eating potatoes. This is called fashion. When imagine that you give a new skirt or shirt or clothes to Madonna. Madonna is having the piece of clothes. And today, everybody will have the same. So if you give to Pierre Gagnaire some invention, some application of science, then Pierre Gagnaire is using them. I'm saying Pierre Gagnaire, but it could be Ferran Adrià or Esteban Blumenthal or all these people. The top people are doing something new, and the public wants what they do. And this is the way I'm using Pierre Gagnaire as a tool of communication for changing the world from the culinary point of view.
But what you say that these chefs use your ideas to sell what they're selling. But I mean, is there such a thing as going too far? Like, did you ever eat at Moto in Chicago?
Yeah, yeah.
And he cooks the tuna with industrial strength laser.
Well, wonderful.
You like that?
Yeah, sure. There is always a fear that molecular cooking will be something awful. And we want our old roasted chicken, let's say. I should say, don't be afraid first. Because, you know, in music, we had Johann Sebastian Bach first. Then, at some point, a small guy called Mozart arrived. And this guy was a hippie. He was a beatnik. He was a punk. And after one century, instead of having only Bach, we had Mozart and Bach. Mozart did not whip Bach away. And then we had Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven. And then we had Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, and Debussy. And then we had Bach, Mozart. So any new thing in culture is not eliminating the other. It's increasing the possibilities. And this is what we want, to be free. We want more possibilities because we have the choice. If you want to hear Mozart now, you can hear Mozart. But the next day, even if you love Mozart, the next day you can hear Debussy. Imagine eating roasted chicken or choucroute or cassoulet all day life. It would be boring. So I want to have the Motos cooking or Grand Achat's cooking or Wiley Dufresne cooking.
Yeah,
or
I haven't seen his new book yet. We're trying to get
it. I want all of that, of course.
But nobody
should
can
not,
do it
we
at
should,
home.
We should not stay to the old. Tradition is very strange. You know, very funny story. Tradition. The world has no meaning. My children, since they are born, I'm making ice cream sherbet with liquid nitrogen. Recently, we went to a restaurant where the chef was very proud of making. They did not look because they are not interested. For them, it's traditional because I transmitted. And this is the etymology. Tradition transmitted. I transmitted to my two sons the idea that we can make an ice cream with liquid nitrogen. So it's not new. For them, it's not new.
Right. But you know, all this equipment is pretty expensive. Like the
No. It's not expensive.
Not that one, but I'm talking about the sous vide equipment, for example, the heated circulator.
You know, it's expensive when you build a machine for a whole restaurant. But if you build a machine for a kitchen, it's not expensive. No.
I want one of those machines.
Yeah, you should. But you know, for example, when you boil a sauce, imagine you make a wine sauce.
Right.
So you have to boil to reduce it. Wow, it is very, very expensive. You have to pay for the electricity, for the energy for boiling. There is an osmosis membrane to do the same job. Ha, much more efficient.
What do you think will be the next thing? For example, the what's the induction cooking?
Oh, sure, certainly.
That's fabulous.
We should all have that, because instead of spoiling 80% of the energy, you spoil only 20%. The price of oil will increase, because oil will there will be no oil soon, or perhaps it will be in 2050, I don't know, but there will be no oil soon. At that time, how are we going to cook? The energy, the price of energy will be important, and our behaviors in the kitchen will change.
Well, I mean, clearly this is more about other bigger issues than it is just about being experimental and causing a stir in the kitchen, which people seem to pick up on for molecular gastronomy. You've written all these books. Do you have a website where people can come and get all your books?
No. I have no time. You know, I'm working hard so to produce new knowledge. So having a website, no.
Well, we have some
but
of you, books
you can,
on
you
our
can,
website.
You can type on Google Hervetis and you find everything, so it's all right.
Okay, and that's Hervetis. And it's really interesting, listeners, and it's really easy to understand. And, you know, Hervé, you may have the key to this terrible energy drain that we've been having on our planet. I can't thank you enough for coming on the menu.
Thank you for coming to Paris.
Yeah, and yes, and keep us posted, and I'd love to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Well, we discovered, listeners, that there are a number of things we didn't cover, and I don't want to let this opportunity slip by. So we're going to talk a bit longer here with Hervé. Getting to the basics, first of all, Hervé, can you explain, because we haven't done that, exactly what is the science in molecular gastronomy?
Yeah, you know, science, there is a definition that we should say to everybody. It is looking to the mechanisms of phenomena using a method called the experimental method.
Right.
This method does not mean that you make experiment only. It's based on calculation. It was introduced by Galileo Galilei in the Renaissance, and this method is still used by all scientists. So let's have an example. You look at a mountain, you ask the question, why a mountain? And you use science, the experimental method, to say, well, perhaps some plates are floating on the earth, and when they meet, the mountain is surging. Okay. In my case, in molecular gastronomy, the question is not mountain. The question is all the phenomena that you can observe while you are cooking. So the soufflé is swelling. This is a phenomenon. And the question that science is asking is, why is the soufflé swelling? Okay. So in a lab like this, you have students and you have scientists, and these people look at phenomena and they look for the mechanism of this phenomena. For example, there is a PhD on carrot stalks. And we don't try to make a carrot stalk. We make a carrot stalk that's cooking for 3 years. We take samples and we try to analyze the composition of the carrot stalk, not for knowing the composition, but to answer the question, something is going out of the carrot into the water, but how is it going out of the carrot? This is the only question. We are not interested in application because there is no, we should say that applied sciences is like saying a square circle. It cannot exist. If it is science, it's not applied. If it is applied, it's technology. It's not science. Okay? So in the lab, we are studying, we are looking for mechanism of culinary phenomena or to phenomena that occurs during culinary transformation while you cook.
Now, but you said that, okay, so technology, science doesn't have an application, but technology certainly does. Tell us what some of the applications would be for like the books and the theories you explain. And
for, you know, you have science, or molecular gastronomy is producing new knowledge when you explain what's going on when you cook. And this new knowledge can be used. It can be used in two ways. First, it can be used in teaching, because it's true that when you young people are interested by cooking or eating or things like that. And it was very funny when we launched Experimental Cuisine Collective in New York at the New York Academy. It was very funny to see that the professor of chemistry from the American universities came to this meeting because they understand that the students are interested to know what the chemistry how it can be used. And if they can see that in molecular gastronomy, their knowledge can be applied. So this is a possibility. So education at every level, school, college,
university. Do you have something here that applies to six-year-olds? Or?
In France, we have many programs. One of them is called Atelier Expérimental du Goût. Translation would be Flavor Experimental Sessions. And these sessions are done in school, primary schools, and children are making experiments to understand why they have to wash their hands, or why they have to change their food, or how to make 1 cubic meter of whipped egg white with one egg, or how to transform milk into cream, into butter, and into milk again. And all these things, so it's very funny. This is an educational application of molecular gastronomy, and there is a European program to make all these sessions in all Europe very soon. Now, the second applications are technological, new tools, new ingredients, new methods, but also new dishes and new possibility of thinking of new dishes. For example, you know abstract painting, yes. Like Kandinsky, for example. In figurative painting, which is the old tradition, you draw horses, houses, and so on. In abstract painting, you have lines, surfaces, dots of color, but you have no representation of people, houses, horses, cats, and so on. Now, you can do the same in the kitchen. You can make abstract cooking. Abstract cooking means that you eat something, you say, wow, it's good, but you're not able to recognize the carrot, the chicken, or anything. And we did it with Pierre Gagnère, mm-hmm. with young chefs just learning in culinary schools, serving at the International Biennale of Design. These people, the visitors were having this food, new food. This is an application of molecular gastronomy, a technology application or a technical application or an art application, I don't know. So, you know, knowledge can always go applied in these two directions, education and technology.
You know, I mean, that you followed Hester Blumenthal, I'm sure. His dream is to be able to establish a dining setting where all perceptions are controlled. Smell, taste, he would control lighting for ambience and so forth. But the most interesting thing I think that he told us was he also would like to control food memory because of so many associations that you know, it's deeply embedded in your psyche. And those memories come forward when you smell something or you eat something. That seems like almost an impossible thing to do.
Well, I don't know. People should have a dream. Neston has dreams, so it's a wonderful idea. Anyway, as for myself, I'm looking to a longer future. You know, you and me we stick to our grandmother food because we are primates, and primates they love the food they had when they were young.
Yes, this I
is,
know.
We have to recognize the food. We can appreciate food which is not new. The new food is awful. And this is why when I'm saying I want to get rid of the roasted chicken, people are very upset by the idea because they have it in their repertory, in their inner repertory.
Right.
But imagine that you change the food of young people. These young people will be grown-ups, and these grown-ups will have a different memory. So instead of trying to change the memory of some individual, and it's very difficult, I would prefer to change the memory of a whole population, because in this way, we can change the way people cook and eat.
And that's your aim?
Yes, it is. For real reason, we have to change the world for the best.
To save the environment?
In particular, but not only the environment. You know, some centuries ago, we had candles in home. Today, we have electricity. Would you prefer candles or electricity? You prefer the electricity. And probably we can change this way also in food and cooking.
You make it all very exciting. Thank you.